Scotty Reed here with a Black Talk Radio news commentary. On this segment, I want to build upon something that I heard another host on Black Talk Radio say. The host of Tando Radio Show, his name is Dave. I do highly recommend that program, not just because it's on our network, but because of the type of information and the dialogue that is had on his program. But I'm the engineer, the audio engineer of his radio program that's on Monday through Fridays at starting at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. And Dave said something that really kind of resonated with me, although he did not frame it in the term his word usage. He did not frame it in the terms of racism, white supremacy. If you did not know him, you would not know what he was talking about. You would just think he was talking about the government, a shadow government, the people who are in power. But it does have applications towards ending the system of racism. And I'm talking about institutional racism, because I don't believe that you can eliminate racism from the hearts of men and women. You can't do it. That's something that they're going to have to come to terms with themselves and work on themselves, perhaps the Creator. If they had a true relationship with the Creator, then perhaps they could come to grips with their racism. But this is what Dave said, and I'm kind of paraphrasing it. He said that those who are in control of the system, we'll call it the system of injustice, the system of racism, although he didn't use those words. But he said those who are in control of the system, the very few who control the lives of the many, he said that they are more dedicated, they are more committed, and they give more of their energy towards maintaining the system than those who are being oppressed by the system. And that just really resonated with me. It made a whole lot of sense to me, and I could just see real life examples of that. And so if you are one of those people who are offended whenever you feel like somebody's talking bad about Obama, I'm not here to baby you. I'm not here to coddle you. I'm here to try to gain a better understanding of what we're dealing with in terms of institutional racism, how to combat it, and hopefully bring it to an end. So if you can't handle those examples, then you should just tune out now. Just stop the video, stop the podcast, and, you know, go find something else to do. I'm not here to coddle you. Now, today, I believe it was today, Donald Trump, I'm going to compare two speeches given by President Donald Trump and former President Barack Obama in 2015 is when he gave this speech in Des Moines, Iowa. But today, I believe it's in South Carolina, is where Liberty University is located. It is a right-wing evangelical college or university. I think it was started by Jerry Falwell. But they are a bastion of right-wing conservatism and religious conservatism as well. So you can read up about the various controversies that have been attached to that university. But Donald Trump gave a speech to a packed house today. I think they said it was a record 50,000 people who turned out, and he was giving a commencement speech. Now, I'm going to read some of this speech to you, and just pay attention to the words that Donald Trump said to these young minds, these young people who are going to go out into the world and become part of the system. So I printed out his speech, and so let me just bear with me. Pay attention to the words, okay? So Trump gave the commencement address to Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia this morning, telling the evangelical Christian school's graduates to defy expectations, keep faith in God, and fight against established systems. That's very key. What is the most established system in the United States? All right. And then I should also add, this is a very codified speech as well. To the class of, he says, go forth and turn your dreams into action. Uncharacteristically chipper Donald Trump told thousands of young adults today, never stop fighting for what you believe in. To the class of 2017 today, you end one chapter, but you are about to begin the greatest adventure of your life. Just think for a moment of how blessed you are to be here today at this great university, living in this amazing country, surrounded by people who you love and care about so much. Then ask yourself, with all of those blessings and all the blessings and you've been given, what will you give back to this country and indeed to the world? What imprint will you leave in the sands of history? What will future Americans say we did in our brief time right here on Earth? Did we take risks? Did we dare to defy expectations? Did we challenge accepted wisdom and take on established systems? So that's the second time that word is used, established systems. Again, what is the system that has long been established since the founding of this country? A system of slavery and racism. Race-based slavery is what it was founded on. That's the system that has been established. That's the system that's still in operation all these years later. So he goes on to say, what will future Americans say we did in our brief time right here on Earth? Did we take risks? Did we dare to defy expectations? Did we challenge accepted wisdom and take on established systems? Or did we just go along with convention, swim downstream so easily with the current, and just give in because it was the easy way? It was the traditional way, or it was the accepted way. Remember this, nothing worth doing ever came easy. It's called the road less traveled. Be unafraid to challenge entrenched interests and failed power structures. The more people tell you it's not possible and can't be done, the more you should be absolutely determined to prove them wrong. Treat the word impossible as nothing more than motivation. Relish the opportunity to be an outsider. Embrace that label, because it's the outsiders that change the world and make a real and lasting difference. The more a broken system tells you you're wrong, the more certain you should be that you must keep pushing ahead and always have the courage to be yourself. Most importantly, you have to do what you love. You have to do what you love, or you most likely won't be very successful at it. So do what you love. Now, this was very, and I'm not sure if this is the entire speech, and it was probably a little bit longer than that, but it was some key words said there, or some key things that were said there, particularly his comments about the established system. Now, we have to, what is he talking about? Well, consider who his audience is. Okay, so he is telling them, you know, right now, a lot of right-wing conservatives, and a lot of it is, Trump didn't start it, but he fed into it. A lot of these right-wing conservatives are into white victimhood and portraying themselves victims of the system. So we have to consider his audience. He's telling them, don't be worried about the PC crowd or what people think about you. And you, hey, just go ahead and go up against the system, challenge the system. If people say you can't do this or do that, just do it. Prove them wrong. Now, this is a very codified speech. Again, this is, you know, he's not using any kind of overtly racist language or anything like that. But if we consider the history of that university, if we consider the ideology that comes forth from right-wing religious institutions, that type of environment, then we know that he's talking about maintaining the system of racism. At least, and even if that's not what he meant, that's what that person would take from it if they have that belief system. That's what they would take from that. So that this was very codified speech, for which he got a standing ovation. People have tried to minimize his speech and say it was all cliche and whatnot. But who don't use cliches? You know, hey, it's plenty to criticize this man about. But like I made a post earlier today, is a lot of the coverage of Donald Trump from the news media is childish. It, you know, just a lot of name calling, a lot of jokes. lot of shucking and jiving and, you know, not a real serious analysis. So the article that I pulled this from tried to make him seem like, oh, you know, he could have came up with a better speech than that. But I found nothing wrong with his speech. If I gave this speech, let's say, to HBCU students, and let's say I was Dr. Cornell West, and I was invited to speak, give the commencement speech at a university, and Cornell West gave this same speech. Well, based on who Cornell West is and the audience that he's speaking to, those people would take that as challenging the system of racism, working to end the system, not believing that it's impossible to end a racist, oppressive system, not impossible to bring slavery to an end as an institution in this country once and for all. For those new to my channel, 13th Amendment never abolished slavery. There will be a march on August the 19th on Washington, D.C., a Millions for Prisoners Human Rights March. So you can look that up. So that's how, if Cornell West gave this speech, I would say that was a great speech. He telling them, don't worry about upsetting the status quo. Don't worry about this established system. Don't let it deter you from fulfilling your goals. And, you know, go out there and challenge this evil system. So that's how I'm looking at this. All right. But again, this is Donald Trump. We know how he ran his campaign. We know the codified and not so codified language that he uses and who he's appealing to. And we know the audience that he's speaking to. Now, let me contrast that with what Barack Obama said about college students on liberal campuses in 2015. Now, first, let me just remind you that the premise of this segment is something that Dave said on Tando Radio Show that made a lot of sense to me. He said, those who are in, and I'm paraphrasing, those who are in control of the system, and I'm going to say racism, who are in control of this system, that they give more of their time, their energy, they are more committed to maintaining the system, more so than the victims of the system. And that's just so very true. Now, many people do accept in the black community that Barack Obama is a quote-unquote victim of racism, right? He's given many speeches in his 8 years. It depends on, he tailors his message for his audience. One time he went to a black church and he was bashing black males, talking about they all missing in action, missing black fathers, even though that's fake news, that the white males are the ones. We want to look at the stats. If we want to look at statistics from the CDC, white males are known more for abandonment of their children than black male. Okay, black males were the least to abandon their children. So, you know, then he gave a speech to he was talking to the Congressional Black Caucus, and, you know, they were trying to get an agenda push for quote unquote black America, their constituents, and they were complaining about what I gathered they were complaining about. He wasn't doing anything to help their constituents, and he talked down to them and told them to stop complaining and take your bedroom slippers off and put your marching shoes on. That's what he said. Now, this is what he told a primarily white audience in white Iowa, Des Moines, Iowa, which I believe is their capital. So let me read this again. The whole premise of this segment is to build on what Dave said about, and I'm, you know, again, he didn't use this language, this is my language, but it's applicable. So he's saying that racists are more committed to maintaining the system more so than victims are in dismantling the system. And if you check my video out last night, you know, we kind of talked about that. Black people supporting Confederate monuments, you know, like Condi Rice said on Fox and Friends. Please check out that video. But, and Condi Rice's name does come up in this little piece. So let me read. to you. This is from 2015. From 2015, President Obama is weighing in on a discussion over political dialogue on college campuses, saying students shouldn't be coddled from opposing views. So he basically saying they shouldn't be babied. Like, I'm not going to baby those people who just simply cannot accept objective criticism of their president. All right, that's what they said. That's my president. But anyway, it's not just sometimes folks who are mad that colleges are too liberal and that have a problem. Sometimes there are folks on college campuses who are liberal and maybe even agree with me on a bunch of issues, who sometimes aren't listening to the other side, and that's a problem too. So he white-splaining. He white-splaining for conservatives. He white-splaining for racist suspects. I've heard Obama said this during a town hall on Monday in Des Moines, Iowa. So this is from 2015. I've heard of some college campuses where they don't want to have a guest speaker who is too conservative, or they don't want to read a book if it has language that is offensive to African Americans or somehow sends a demeaning signal towards women, Obama continued. I've got to tell you, I don't agree with that either. I don't agree that you, when you become students at colleges, have to be coddled and protected from different points of view, he said. Debate over sensitivity on college campuses has garnered, and these are the writers speaking here, putting it in context of the speech. Debate over sensitivity on college campuses has garnered increased attention recently, including over trigger warnings for course material, safe spaces on campuses. They talking about safe black spaces and college campuses, black students and their allies addressing this racist symbology and monuments to racist white supremacist slavers and terrorists. All right, so that's what they talking about when they talking about safe spaces on campuses and boycotts of prospective campus speakers such as Condoleezza Rice. So, yeah, a lot of people don't want to hear Condoleezza Rice saying that we shouldn't get rid of these monuments and because it's part of history and we need statues of terrorists and enslavers to remind us of slavery. You know, so again, check out the video for more context from last night or yesterday. Comedians Jerry Seinfeld and Bill Maher, have also blasted oversensitivity of college students. See, I was just talking about that today, that a lot of the childish media that is targeting, quote unquote, liberals or the left wing or progressive, and a lot of black people tune in to those type of stations because there's a lack of independent black media or media controlled by black people, given our point of view, about the comedians of Samantha Bee, Stephen Colbert, John Stewart, even though he's retired now and has been replaced by Trevor Noah, and they mentioned Jerry Seinfeld. So it's like, it says, this last quote from Obama, anybody who comes to speak to you and you disagree with, you should have an argument with them. Now I'm going to stop right there. No, you shouldn't, because that's not the setting for that. Okay? When somebody comes to give a speech, they're not there to argue with the audience. They're there to give a speech, and the audience is there to listen. Unless it's a press conference and they have a question and answer session afterwards, then no, that's not the time to have an argument with these people. And I wouldn't even use the word argument. I would say debate. All right. He then says, but you shouldn't silence them by saying you can't come because I'm too sensitive to hear what you have to say. Something like I just said about a lot of people who are Obama fans or Obama fanatics, and that's their president. And how dare you say something about my president? Yeah, I just said that at the beginning of the program, right? So, you know, I'm not here to baby you either, but he is demeaning these students, all right? and they just overly sensitive if they don't want to hear racist propaganda, whether it's coming out the mouths of racist white people or proxy racist black people like Condoleezza Rice, tools of the racist system. Oh, you're so sensitive, you can't handle different points of view. You ain't hear Donald Trump telling them white kids that at Liberty University, did you? You didn't hear him telling them that. He told them, you know, don't, you know, challenge these people, challenge it, you know. So this is just, it's sick to me. And it's a perfect illustration of how suspected racists are more committed, or we'll say white supremacists are more committed to maintaining the system of white supremacy than victims are of ending that system. This is perfect compare and contrast. And this is what I think Dave was getting at. Those people in control give more of their energy, which can also be their money, because it, like Dave says, when you own a job, you're using energy, and then they pay you money. So that money represents your energy. And they give more of their energy. They are more committed to maintaining the system, to maintaining these Confederate monuments and tributes to racists and slavers, than a lot of victims are to overthrowing the system, ending the system, dismantling white supremacy. And I think this is a perfect illustration of that. Listen, we live in an age of information. These young people, these young men and women on these college campuses know exactly who these people are. They know who Condoleezza Rice is. They've heard their point of views on Fox News and other media that they have been on. They've read about them. They know what these people's thoughts are, okay? And if the majority of the students on their campus don't want racist talking points being promoted on their campus, then guess what? That's their right. It's not that they're little babies. Perhaps they're anti-racist and they are intolerant of racism. See, this is Barack Obama telling them they need to be tolerant of people with racist views, people with misogynistic views. He's telling them, even though Rush Limbaugh calls women sluts on air, oh, you shouldn't be offended by that. Let Rush Limbaugh come and give the commencement speech at your college or whatnot. Dude, don't protest it. You being a baby. You see what I'm saying? Am I making my point here? Am I really making my point? Because that's all I'm trying to do is get you to think about what Dave said. Or, you know, language that is offensive to African American. Oh, you shouldn't be offended if somebody call you the N-word or if it's a Mein Kampf or something like that, Hitler's book, autobiography or whatever. Oh, you shouldn't be offended by that. You shouldn't want that banned from college campuses, or you shouldn't be forced to read it because it's promoting a racist ideology. See what I'm saying? See what Dave is saying. Even though Dave did not frame it in the context of white supremacy, it still applies. He's just codified like that. Codified meaning that he doesn't need to say racism. He doesn't need to say white supremacy. His audience knows what he's talking about. Those people in control and their puppets and their proxy racist tools. So this is why I said, you know, I made a video last night about Condoleezza's Rice's, supporting Confederate monuments and saying we need them. Like, we don't have history books. Stick them in their Confederate museum. They got some of those in Virginia where Trump spoke today, okay? Or in South Carolina where Dylann Roof went to visit. Shortly before he murdered all those people in Emanuel Church. If we don't want it in the public square, something our tax dollars are maintaining, then we don't want it. We want to dismantle the system, and that includes the shrines to racists. Again, I got to bring this up. You don't see anything like statues of Hitler in Germany. You don't see them in the United States. You don't see taxpayers being forced to lionize or give places of honor to Nazis. You know why? Because Jews wouldn't have it. Jews have self-respect. Their descendants have self-respect. And they will protest it or do whatever it takes to dismantle that. Just like when the college students were pulling down that statue of Cecil Rhodes in South Africa. We had black people saying, they shouldn't do that. They need those monuments to remind them of the history. Jews have a campaign that's called Never Forget. But they don't seem to need Nazi monuments to remind them of that Holocaust. All right? So I don't want to rant. If you have any thoughts or comments you would like to share, I put stuff out there for public debate and peer review. I won't be offended or get angry if you share your thoughts with me, long as you're respectful. All right, so this has been Scotty Reed with a Black Talk Radio News commentary. Support independent media today. Make a donation to the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. The PayPal link will be in the description. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Subscribe to us on Black Talk Radio Network's Facebook page or on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter @ Black Talk Radio.